But right now, I'm very happy to welcome to our program Andy Bicklebaum, a founding member of the Yes Men, a culture jamming activist group. Andy is author of six books, and he's been involved in being featured in and directing three film documentaries about the Yes Men. And we've invited Andy here to talk about an important new article he has written for the website Waging Nonviolence, titled "A Galvanizing Vision for Palestine-Israel Could Help Stop the War in Gaza." Thanks so much for joining us tonight, Andy. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Scott. I'm glad to be here.
So I'm so glad you can talk about this proposal, because I think most of our listeners hadn't heard about this before, and it really, you know, comes at a time when I think people around the world are yearning for a vision for a peaceful future for Israel and Palestine. And we'll get to that shortly. But I think, you know, your role in the Yes Men is very important to know as well. So briefly tell our listeners about the Yes Men and your performance art, challenging corporate greed and environmental destruction. One famous success involved you posing as a spokesperson for Dow Chemical in 2004 on BBC television, reaching millions of people all around the world. And you posing at this as this Dow Chemical spokesperson, you apologized for the Bhopal, India disaster that killed between 15 and 20,000 people, and publicly took full responsibility for the accident, and announced that you were putting up a $12 billion fund to assist the survivors. Again, this went out worldwide, and apparently Dow Chemical's stock went way down, and they disclaimed what you said. It was wild at the time. You've done other things like this countless times that you might want to mention as well, but maybe just talk briefly about this one Dow Chemical thing you did.
Oh yeah, that's sort of the kind of thing we're best known for, is posing as people we're not, and wheedling our way into corporate conferences or onto TV in that case as entities who have done terrible harm, usually, and speaking on their behalf, either in that case. Announcing, like, Dow purchased Union Carbide, which was responsible for the Bhopal disaster, the biggest industrial disaster in history up until then, anyways, and was refusing to take responsibility. So we ended up, one way or another, making a fake website for Dow. That was a time when, if you made a fake website, people might very well mistake it for the real thing. Algorithms weren't quite what they are. And somebody at the BBC stumbled on it and invited us to speak on the 20th anniversary of the catastrophe on behalf of Dow. And I got on TV that day, live, and just announced, yep, we're putting this behind us. Dow Chemical is going to sell Union Carbide, what remains of it, and use the $12 billion in proceeds to finally do right by the survivors who had, you know, languished for 20 years by that point and never been adequately compensated, for the simple reason that, you know, they don't have enough lawyers. So it was a vision of a beautiful future where somehow corporations are doing the right thing. It wasn't really a possible vision. My fake name on TV was Jude Finisterra, the patron saint of the impossible, Finisterra and the world, you know, basically clues. This is never going to happen by itself. You know, people would have to decide to make it happen. So yeah, that was that.
Brilliant stuff. Well, Andy, in your recent article in Waging Nonviolence, titled "A Galvanizing Vision for Palestine-Israel Could Help Stop the War in Gaza," you outline a vision for a peaceful future for Israel-Palestine involving a confederation model. And this, of course, comes at a time of catastrophic death and destruction in Gaza, with with more than 29,000 Palestinians, 70% of them women and children that have been killed in this war that followed the Hamas terrorist attack on Israel that killed 1,200 Israelis and took 240 hostages. And of course, in Gaza right now, there's the threat of mass starvation and rampant disease. Tell us about this hopeful plan and those who are advocating another model departing from both the long-running and unsuccessful two-state solution or an alternative solution, you know, that's been talked about in recent years, one secular democratic state.
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, two first of alls. First of all, this is an Israeli and Palestinian plan founded by two journalists, a journalist and an activist, the journalist Meron Rapaport, who's Jewish Israeli, who I met in 2015 when I was doing a workshop against the occupation in Jerusalem, and Auni Al-Mashni, who's a Palestinian activist who spent 12 years in Israeli jails. And they came up with this proposal. It's not a very complicated proposal, and I can sort of outline it. But, you know, just to be clear, I'm just an enthusiast. I have nothing to do with it, and it's not my proposal in any way, shape, or form. It's just the only proposal I've seen that makes any sense to me. And the reason I think it's a relevant for the Yesmen to be promoting this, or me as part of the Yesmen to be promoting it, is that it requires some imagination, but it's totally possible. And, you know, most of the things we do have done are about things that could, have a conceivable positive outcome. And this is very realistic in that it could actually happen. The basic idea is instead of the two-state solution that is, you know, the only one we've heard about, where you have a big wall and you relegate Palestinians to their little weird slivers of territory and, you know, you keep them there. And you deal with the settlers somehow, and you have a wall, and you keep the two peoples completely separate. That is, you know, maybe it's better than what's going on now, certainly, but it's not sustainable either, because both peoples see the entire land as theirs. And whether you agree with that for either one or not doesn't really matter. I mean, you can spend hours on Reddit reading the back and forths about whether Jews or Palestinians are entitled to the land in any way, shape, or form. It kind of doesn't matter, because what you have right now is nobody wants, fewer and fewer people want the classical two-state solution with separation walls. Everybody wants access to the entire land. However, the one democratic state idea that it is hegemonic on the left right now is not really workable either. 97% of Jewish Israelis don't want it. And only 10% of Palestinians want it. And that's been consistent over the last 3 years of polling. So I don't know how you plan as an American to implement a solution that nobody there wants, and that makes no sense for either people. They're not post-national. Both Palestinians and Jews need self-determination, and they need... Palestinians have never had self-determination. For 750 years, the territory has been occupied by one or another foreign power, from the Mamluks to the Ottoman Turks to the British, now the Jewish Israelis. It's like they've never had a chance to self-determine. And you know, I don't get it, need to get into why Jewish Israelis have a very hard time imagining no self-determination either. So right. It doesn't really matter whether you agree with it or not, or what right you think people have, or, you know, it's just not realistic. And the current government of Israel is so bad that nobody, it will not continue as soon as the war ends. And so the second point I was going to just front load is, like, the critical thing right now is stopping the bombing and then getting rid of this government, which will happen as soon as the war ends, because nobody likes the government and they're only in power because there's this war going on. So the urgency is stopping the bombing, getting Biden by any means to put his foot down. You know, for Americans, that's the urgency.
Right.
And I guess my theory is that if you have a vision for what could happen, it makes you a stronger as a movement, a realistic vision of what the future could hold after the war ends. And the one democratic state is unfortunately not realistic. You'd have to overcome the will of, you know, pretty much all the Jewish Israelis and most of the Palestinians. And the two-state, you know, barricaded solution is just unfortunate and not sustainable. So right. this I like. Yeah, this is the vision that feels right.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you a bit more to lay out what a confederation, the land for all model would look like. But let me just briefly reintroduce you to our audience. We're speaking with Andy Bickelman, a founding member of the Yes Men Culture Shaming Activist Group. And we're talking about his new article titled A Galvanizing Vision for Palestine Israel Could Help Stop the War in Gaza. Again, that's at Waging Nonviolence, and we'll refer people there as we conclude. But Andy, yeah, fill in some of the details. What would this confederation model look like?
Right. It would look pretty much like what you have in, you know, Northern Ireland or Europe. Even where basically there are states, there are two states, nobody in the area is post-national. So people need a state, whether you believe in states or not, whether you believe they should have a nation state or not, they you know, need one. They each need one. So you have two states. But it's kind of like France and Germany, which were at war for centuries. And nowadays, if you're French, you can go live in Germany pretty easily and still vote in French national elections, but you're subject to German municipal laws, and you vote in municipal elections. And there's, you know, prohibition against discrimination in housing and stuff like that. It's similar to that. It's modeled on just a standard confederation model. But it's unique, and this is where the imagination part of it comes in. It's unique in that both states share have access to an identical homeland. And it's effectively giving Palestinians the right of return, because Palestinians can live within what would be Israel, yet remain citizens of Palestine and vote nationally in Palestine, but, you know, have residence in what would be Israel, and vote locally in municipal elections, be subject to laws, and same in reverse. So you'd have to, you know, the settlers would be subject to Palestinian law. They would become residents of Palestine, subject to, you know, Palestinian laws, and they wouldn't be able to violate them. And they would vote in elections in what would be Israel. So it's pretty straightforward, really. And it may not be the final word. You know, the people who are gung-ho for a one democratic state, you know, it's a good vision. Let's get post-national. Let's forget about these artificial distinctions between any of us. And that may happen in 50 or 100 years. It's just not conceivable for it to happen now. that's just not where things are. And, you know, tens of thousands of people are being killed in Gaza by the Israelis, by this, you know, pretty much fascist government that has to be gotten rid of as soon as possible. And the only you know, stopping that, I would think the left would be strengthened in demanding that Biden demand a stop to it and put his foot down with, you know, having a vision of the future. You kind of need a vision of the future, in not just my opinion, but many people's opinion, in order to shape the future. So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for laying that out. And if people want more information about this, they can check out the article. Again, it's titled A Galvanizing Vision for Palestine-Israel Could Help Stop the War in Gaza. Again, that's at the website of the publication Waging Nonviolence. And any other place you'd like to recommend our listeners, in addition, of course, to the Yes Men's website for all your future projects that our listeners might certainly want to check out. But yeah, please leave any other resources that they could tap into.
Oh yeah, well, A Land for All. If you search for A Land for All, or Two States, One Homeland, which was what they were called before, and it pretty clearly describes what they're about. Two States, One Homeland, A Land for All. They're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And of course the web. So there are lots of documents, and I link to a few key documents in the article on waging nonviolence, and also explain why it's, you know, important to have an imaginative vision in this time, and why it's incredibly important to not just like have a pie in the sky vision of what could happen, but an actual workable version. And that's where real imagination comes in, is in working with reality.
Well done. Thank you for this bit of hope amidst all the desperation and catastrophe in Gaza we see now. Yeah. It's desperately needed. So thanks, Andy, for doing this and bringing this to our attention, and for all your important work over the many years with the Yes Men. Appreciate that. Big fan. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Scott. Thanks for keeping an open mind.
All right.
All right.
Take care, Andy. Thanks. Take care.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye. That's Andy Bickelbaum, a founding member of the Yes Men, talking about his article, A Galvanizing Vision for Palestine-Israel Could Help Stop the War in Gaza.